On Turtle Island Storytellers, Ed Edmo treats us to some tales originating along the beautiful Columbia River Gorge in the Pacific Northwest. Ed is of Shoshone Bannock, Yakima, Nez Perce, and French descent. As a young boy, he sat at the feet of his father and his grandmother as they told the stories of their ancestors.
This next legend is a Caldwell legend on how Coyote made the Columbia River. Long time ago, they said there was no Columbia River. Where the Cascade Mountains are, there was a great big lake. And if you read magazines like Scientific America and the Smithsonian, they talk about a polar ice cap melting 2 million years ago and flooding the Northwest, making the lakes and rivers of the Northwest. But that's science. Here's what the Caldwell Indians say. Coyote took a big stick to the top of the mountains and dug and sang a powerful song. Coyote took a big stick to the top of the mountains and dug and sang a powerful song. Coyote took a big stick to the top of the mountains and dug and sang a powerful song. Coyote took a big stick to the top of the mountains and dug and sang a powerful song. And the water broke through, making the Columbia River. Oh, Coyote was proud of himself. He made the river. He was walking up and down the river to see what he had made. Animal people moved down to the banks of the river to be closer to the water. Coyote saw that they didn't have that much to eat. So Coyote walked clear down to the mouth of the Columbia, and he saw salmon, many salmon swimming in the ocean, and used his power, told the salmon to swim upstream. That's how Coyote made the Columbia River. That's why the salmon swim upstream. That's how Coyote made the Columbia River. And did you know a long time ago, along the Columbia River, women were chiefs, not the men? Coyote is walking up and down the river saying, the world's going to change over. Women aren't going to be chiefs anymore. There's a place between Dallasport and Wishram. It's called Horse Thief Lake. A long time ago, it was Spearfish Village. I remember the village. I used to go there and play on the high cliffs when I was a little boy. Coyote stopped. He said, is your chief taking good care of you? Is she a good chief? The people said, yes. She stands on the high cliff and watches over us. Her name's Tsagaglala, she who watches. So a coyote climbed the high cliffs. Is it true you're a good chief? She said, yes, I like to think so. My name's Tsagaglala, she who watches. He said, the world's going to change over. Women aren't going to be chiefs anymore. He said, why do you stand over here and watch over your people? She said, I'm Tsagaglala, she who watches. I like to watch over my people to see that they have enough food. I like to watch over my people to see that they have enough firewood. I like to watch over my people to see that they have good shelter. I like to watch over my people to see that they live in peace. He said, forever they'll be, and use his power, change into the petroglyph, the one they call She Who Watches, and she's still there today. That's a Wishram legend. This next legend is Bridge of the Gods legend. There are three versions. There's a Yakima version, a Warm Springs version, and the Klickitat version. That's the only one I know. A long time ago, there were two brothers who wanted better land for the people. One's name was Y East and the other was Klickitat. They were chiefs of their tribe, but the tribes are really, really poor. They wanted to be better chiefs. Y East was chief of the Multnomahs. Klickitat was chief of the Klickitats. The Great Spirit brought them when they were asleep to this part of the country, woke up the brothers. They saw the Columbia River, the large mountains, and the new forests. The Great Spirit told one brother, shoot your arrow to the north. Klickitat shot his arrow to the north, as far as his arrow went, it was the Klickitat tribes. The Great Spirit told the other brother, shoot your arrow to the south. Why East shot his arrow to the south and to the Willamette River Valley. That was the Multnomah peoples. The people were happy they got new land. The Great Spirit said, I'll build a sign of peace for you. Over the Columbia River, the Great Spirit built a large land bridge with tall trees and great big rocks on it. They called it the Bridge of the Gods. The people went across the bridge, hunted and traded and fished together for a long time, began to quarrel and fight among each other. At that time, there was no fire on earth, except one old woman who lived way up in a mountain. Her name was Lou Witt. Lou Witt had fire. The Great Spirit went to the old woman and said, what do you want if you share your fire with the people? Lou Witt thought and thought. She says, I want to become young and beautiful. The Great Spirit said, tomorrow that'll be. Take your fire to the bridge. As the sun was rising on the Columbia River Gorge, in the middle of the Bridge of the Gods was a young, beautiful woman watching fire. The Klickitats and Multnomahs took fire to the lodges. With fire they could heat their lodges, with fire they could cook, and with fire they could see at night. The Multnomahs and Klickitats saw the young woman who brought fire and were happy. So did Wai'east and Klickitat and wanted to marry her. One would bring a gift, one would bring another gift. One would bring a bigger gift, one would bring a bigger and better gift till there was quarreling and fighting. Many people were hurt and killed. The Great Spirit got angry and caused the earth to shake, and the Bridge of the Gods fell into the river. As punishment, it changed the people into mountains. Wai'east, it changed into Mount Hood. Klickitat into Mount Adams. And Lou Witt into Mount St. Helens. And that's how the mountains came to be. That's a Klickitat legend, Bridge of the Gods.
Playwright and storyteller Ed Edmo now lives in Portland, Oregon, and travels throughout the Northwest, sharing his stories and humor in schools and in public performance. In my teens, I was taught two important lessons by the elder singers when I first sat around the drum. One, this drum is alive. An animal and a tree gave their lives so we could use it. Respect it. Watch yourself around it. Second, the singers told me, don't sing when you're angry. If I did, they said, my anger would go out in my songs and hurt someone. This is the core of our art. When we gather our materials, we make offerings to the earth for the clays and paints, to the trees for the wood, to the animals for the skins and feathers, to the winds and ancestors for the inspiration, that they would look kindly upon our endeavors and give of themselves to assist in our creation. And also we are told to have good thoughts while we work, that as a bead worker, potter, weaver, our thoughts go into our art so that it carries good medicine. So this is why it is so hard to just talk about what we make as only art. It is a creation that, when done in a good way, lives and breathes with the spirit of its medium, its message, and its maker. And when we fill our homes with our art, we are surrounded by the thoughts and blessings of our relations. Thanks for joining us today on Wisdom of the Elders. I'm Arlie Neskai. Hokone, till we meet again.
Wisdom of the Elders is produced in Portland, Oregon, with funding provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Lewis and Clark National Historic Trail, National Park Service, and Spirit Mountain Community Fund, Grand Ronde, Oregon. Learn more about the people and music you hear on Wisdom of the Elders, purchase educational material, or make a contribution to fund programming on our website at wisdomoftheelders.org. Discover the growing network of Indigenous oral historians, storytellers, and song carriers. Visit the Turtle Island Storytellers Network at turtleislandstorytellers.net. Executive producer of Wisdom of the Elders is Rose Hybear. Co-producers Clark Salisbury and William Ward. Script editor and director Larry Johnson. Writer Anne Morin. Our theme music is by music director Nico Wind. Website assistance from Clark Salisbury, Kara Briggs, and Rebecca Freeman. Educational materials by Larry McClure. Production assistance by Paul Woodsong, Tina Hagedorn, T. Farmer, and Carol Hartley. Distribution Manager Richard Fonseca, Legal Advisor Judd Carasone. Special thanks to Native American Public Telecommunications and American Indian Radio on satellite.